ideas do not know about borders. The digital age is bringing these opportunities closer and at an exhilarating pace. Entrepreneurs are those who see these chances and take them. Entrepreneurs see opportunities where others see obstacles. It is being able to observe people's potential, understand society better, and witness its limitless innovation, imagination. We want to show you how the digital era is changing the rules of the game in Europe and Africa by empowering millions of people who, just like you, are changing the world. Let us embark on this journey that will present you with the ecosystem disruptors that are building bridges between startup ecosystems and entrepreneurs. Join the Africa Berlin Network. This is Spotlight Entrepreneurship, brought to you by MPACT, Empowering Entrepreneurship. Dear audience, thank you for joining and tuning into this podcast. This is a new chapter of Spotlight Entrepreneurship Podcast. My name is Eric Ndoga. I will be your host. It is my pleasure to bring you to this chapter thanks to the Africa Berlin Network. The Africa Berlin Network is a project funded by the European Fund for Regional Development as part of the Union's response to the COVID-19 pandemic. It is supported by the Berlin Senate Department for Economy, Energy and Public Enterprises, and it is implemented by NPACT in close cooperation with the Berlin partner, along with the ever-growing support of other stakeholders. So today in our interview, I have a special guest, a member of an expert of the Africa Berlin Network, Ellen Reyes. Welcome to this podcast today.
Thanks, Eric. Thanks for having me.
Indeed. Just to let the crowd know and the audience know, Ellen is regarded globally as a pioneer and maverick in the business incubation industry. He is the founder and CEO of RaceCorp, which, according to The Economist, is the only genuine incubator in Africa. Wow. And currently supports an excess of 500 businesses. He's also an author. He has hosted national radio shows. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. So I'm really happy to have you here. So just straight to some questions. Could you tell us a bit more about yourself, other than what I tried to exhaust in that list? Share with us about your history and how did you get interested in entrepreneurship?
Thanks, Eric. I suppose my journey started young. I grew up to entrepreneurial parents. I was groomed to take over their business, and for reasons I won't go into here, I did not. I then pursued a different journey, and I landed up working for a friend of mine, turned his business around, got into the newspaper, a dollar billionaire, saw the article, sent a driver to pick me up. I was 23 years old at the time, offered to back me in any business I liked. I didn't believe him. He then offered again. I did believe him. I started a business called the New York Sausage Factory, which was a fast food operation. It failed. I went to him and said to him, after, you know, I had every single thing that I needed. I had money. I had a mentor. I had I had a private education. I had everything that you need to succeed, and I had failed, and went to him to say, you know, I failed, and I'll pay you back. And then he said to me, did I back you or did I back the business? I said, you backed me. So he said, well, right now the business has failed, but if you walk out that door, you have failed. What would you do differently if you had to do that again? And I said, I changed the menu, the venue, the pricing. I told him everything that I changed. I said, okay, this time I'm going to back you again, but I'm not going to give you money. I'm going to give you people. I'm going to support you with people. So he owned an advertising agency, and the CEO of that ad agency became my marketing mentor. He owned this type of business that was my finance mentor. This one was my other type of mentor, and he surrounded me with a whole bunch of different people. And then I had to find the money to open up the second store, which I did, and I opened it up, and it became a success. And then I sold that actually to an American outfit a few years later, and then got into the vehicle security business. And I was selling tracking systems and hating it. I was in that business for 7 years, and I had a little ad agency, advertising agency, that was always complaining that they needed to be paid early. So I said, guys, what's going on? And they just explained that their business wasn't doing well. I said, okay, let me try and help you. And so I worked with them on the weekends. I worked with them in the evenings. And then on one Saturday, they invited me to a coffee shop, and the two guys put their hands across the table and said, welcome, partner. So I said, I looked at them confused, and they said, well, we can't afford to pay you, but we're going to do is we're going to give you equity in the business. So I said, equity, how much? And they said, well, there are three of us, so 100 divided by 3 is 33.3, so you're going to get 33.3%. So I said, fantastic. I took that. I then moved from the city I was in called Durban to Johannesburg, and to work with a vehicle security business. And then a lady called me up and said to me, I hear you turn around small advertising agencies. So how does it work? So I met with her and I said to her, well, if I turn you around, I get 33.3%. That was like the model. You know, that's how I got to the... And I turned her business around, and I loved that. And then I left the vehicle security business at that point. I was there for many years, but my shareholders agreement precluded me from selling for 2 years. So I made the decision to become poor again and started what was to become Race Corp, which is today what I do 22 years later. And so now we've had 14,000 businesses through Race Corp, but they're not all equity. We've got an equity division. And currently, as you said in the intro, about 500 businesses that we're looking after right now across South Africa, Mozambique, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, now soon to be Namibia, and I'm missing one country, I know. Uganda, yes. Right. So that's my story.
It's amazing. I was hoping to hear Kenya in that list.
I'm also hoping to hear that one day.
good. Excellent. Now, it's interesting to note that you basically are able to actually select and get into these businesses, and just the history of how you got into being the CEO and founder of Race Corp. I'm sure there is a secret to your success. I mean, how are you able to actually pinpoint and select these businesses that you're going to get involved in?
We have to split the business into a couple of areas, but let me just maybe answer by saying that there was no secret to my success. There isn't a secret, so to speak. I think there's a lot of luck involved, certainly a huge amount of hard work. I'm still 22 years into the business. I still work every weekend. I work in the evenings. And it's mainly because I love what I do. So I think there's a lot of luck and a lot of hard work. And there is a model that I've tried to finesse over the years. So on the incubation side, it's very much around building the model and looking at the business as a machine and constantly trying to finesse this machine to be as efficient as possible. And you're doing that in a context of shifting sands, because the environment internally and externally is always shifting, and so you have to keep evolving this machine so that it's relevant to the market, that your products are relevant, that your pricing is relevant, that your technology is relevant in terms of incubating these businesses. So that's on the incubation side, where we don't take equity. On the equity side, it's about finding the right partners, and the right partners is also, I have to say, there's a lot of luck, but there's also, in terms of process, I rely heavily on network in order to verify partnerships, because partnerships, at the end of the day, are about trust and about relationship, because all businesses, myself included, go up through ups and downs, and if you've got good partners, you go through those partnerships together in the ups and downs. So you don't have, in my case, as a potential investor, you don't have people who, when they start to shoot the lights out, are going, oh, I did a bad deal. And I don't go when I've done an investment in a business that has a bad time for 2 or 3 years, oh, I did a bad deal. That you're there in a partnership. And so I've got a model called GBU, which is good, bad, ugly. And so every time I look to a potential business to invest in, and I get about 40 applications a month for people for me to invest in their businesses. I reach out to the network, I look them up, and I see who I know that knows them, and I say GBU, which means are they good, are they bad, are they ugly? Good means they're a good entrepreneur and they're a good person. Bad means they're a good person, but they're a bad entrepreneur, and ugly means they're a bad person. They're going to steal from you, they're not trustworthy, etc. And that GBU has saved me, I think, millions and millions over the years in terms of making bad decisions. It doesn't mean that it's foolproof, but it certainly has helped me where even as recently as a couple of months ago, somebody said to me, don't touch this guy, he's a U. And then about 6 months later, and the car kept hounding me. And then about 6 months later, the person who said the U sent me an article saying this guy was arrested for fraud by the police. So, you know, saved by the GBU.
That's awesomely amazing about to just to hear about the formula you have and a lot of luck. I think that's what I'm going to take home and say it's never predictable. It's not a magical formula, but it's a practical walk-in-process session kind of thing that you do. Excellent. So, dear listeners, we would like you to stay in touch and to know more about our upcoming activities. We invite you to please sign up to AfricaBerlin.network so you don't miss out on any of the activities that the Africa Berlin Network is having somewhere near you. Back to you, Alan. What is the one thing that you really enjoy in the process of developing and supporting entrepreneurs in the ecosystem?
I'm going to give you an example. There's a business that I backed now. It's a one-man band. And about 2 years ago, December, not this last, actually this last December, right? So this last December, I came home. It was the last day. It was the 15th of December. It was the last day of work for me. I came home, poured myself a beautiful whiskey, sat in my garden, a beautiful garden. It was a lovely summer's evening. And we declared a dividend. I could hear the ka-ching in the bank, and I was feeling very self-satisfied. And my son was with me, who was 17 at the time, and he was sitting outside, and I was just reflecting on the year. And then I got a call from this entrepreneur. And he had been hustling the whole day, and he's got a newborn child, and he had made the equivalent of $2 profit that day. $2, that's it. He had been hustling the whole day and made $2 profit. And I said to him, you know, you've got to keep going, Ryan. You've got to keep going. You've got to keep going, and you've got to believe in yourself. And and I was talking him through. I was crying inside. I tried to keep him motivated through that time, through that hell that he was going through, that self-doubt, that imposter, what am I doing here? And all entrepreneurs go through that. And I tried to push him through, and I did. And as I put down the phone, I just started to just sob. I was irreconcilable, because it pushed the button of my time when I had started Race Corp, because what I didn't tell you in the previous story is it took me 5 years and 2 months to become profitable, and I had borrowed a huge amount of money from credit cards and friends and all sorts of places in order to go through that curve. Because at 22 years ago in South Africa, no one knew about incubation, least of all myself. And so the banks wouldn't fund me. No one would fund me. No one knew what it was. And so I had been through that situation before, also with a newborn child. And, you know, that my child, as I said, is 17. It was going on 18. And when he was born, I couldn't afford to get him out of hospital. I had to go and borrow money from my brother-in-law to get him out of hospital, which was very humiliating. And now fast forward now 10 months, and this guy who I'm talking about is flying, absolutely flying, and he's doing big deals, etc. And so to me, you ask the question, what is the thing that I love most? That story, that curve of people pushing through and being part of that journey and knowing where they start and how they have their potential to succeed and to basically to self-actualize. And when you watch an entrepreneur self-actualize, it's the most beautiful thing to watch. When you participate in their self-actualization, It's about your self-actualization. So for me, being part of other people's success, being a midwife for other people's success, is the biggest gift I've been given.
That's amazing. All fathers identify with that process of a newborn coming and you're just thinking, how am I going to sort this out? It must have been a tight spot. What advice would you give entrepreneurs right now as a focus in this start?
Many entrepreneurs are buy into, you know, the business plan and that they're going to go and they're going to come up with the idea and they're going to go present it and they're going to get a Series A and Series B and Series C and there's a lot of hype around that, and there's a lot of fluff in that model. I'm very old-fashioned when it comes to building businesses. For me, it's about creating real value and focusing on actually creating the value proposition well, and then going out there immediately and experimenting and evolving. I have never seen in the 22 years that I've been doing this, I've never seen a business plan equal reality ever. In fact, it's never even close to reality 6 months in. And that is because when entrepreneurs hit the reality, they evolve their product, they evolve their offering, they evolve their distribution, they evolve all the time from all the no's and the objections that they get the whole time. Good entrepreneurs keep evolving. So what I would say to entrepreneurs as advice is that, first of all, that just get out there. It's never a perfect time to get out there. Just get out there and start learning. Number two, it always takes twice as long as you ever think it will, and twice as much money. In fact, probably four times as much money. So ensure that you've got enough funding. And all the people who said that they were going to buy from you in your research phase, probably 20% will. They'll always come up with the excuse that, you know, I've just spent my budget. You know, it's not exactly what I needed to. So you can't rely on all the pre-launch research that you did with any huge confidence. You've got to get out there and go and sell. And that is the last piece of advice. Is any entrepreneur out there who's afraid to sell shouldn't be in entrepreneurship. You have to get out there. And selling doesn't mean that you have to go, hey, do you want to buy this? And the ding, you know, it's about speaking authentically from the heart about your product or service that you've created and you think is of value. And when entrepreneurs, they have to be out there in front of clients, those are the ones that I back. So I would never, ever back an entrepreneur that cannot sell or does not want to sell.
Well, folks, you had it. Start learning early. Make sure you have enough money to do the journey and get out and sell. Excellent advice. Now, another question I just want to throw your way. We're very big in the Africa Berlin Network on trends. And we're really interested to understand the entrepreneurship ecosystem in Africa. So what is the biggest upcoming trend or opportunities that you see in the continent of Africa?
Eric, I'm going to give you a very unsatisfactory answer, is that I don't care about trends. Trends to me are old news. To me, I'm looking around what are the opportunities around the trends. So if, you know, agri-processing is big, I'm looking at, okay, what supporting businesses in that ecosystem are the ones to focus on. Because when something's a trend, then everyone's focused there. And when everyone's focused there, there's lots of competition and people are then missing out on the real opportunity. So trends for me are an indication of where not to look. I look to the side of trends. So whether it's agriculture is a huge thing, all this green tech that's happening across Africa, solar, there's a massive amount of emphasis on coding and building software in Africa. But what's the periphery to that? That's where the opportunity is. So I think that for me, Africa represents the biggest opportunity on earth. And I will let all the big guys fight it out. I'm not a big guy. I will go on the sidelines and I will look for the opportunities on the sidelines. So if I were an entrepreneur trying to think about where the opportunities are, look to the side of the trends.
How can the audience reach you? Do you have like a social media channel that people can reach out to you? And where can they find you on this big wide web?
My Twitter handle is @AllonRaiz, and it's A-L-L-O-N-R-A-I-Z. And I tweet every day. I've got Everything I do is around entrepreneurship. LinkedIn, you'll find me on my name. Then Raise Corp is you can find at www.raisecorp.com, which is RAIZCORP.com.
Thank you for joining another edition of Spotlight Entrepreneurship brought to you by NPACT. We're looking forward to having you again during our next chapter, where we will continue sharing stories about people who, just like you, are building bridges between Europe and Africa. Remember to share with us your opinions and suggestions for the next chapters. Until next time.